Opportunity to worship you, God, God of all creation, Lord. And you love us, and we get to share that back with you, Lord. That's amazing. But you just open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to hear from Steel tonight, God, that we'd all take something away from you, from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Awesome. Hey, before you guys sit down, say hi to somebody you've never met before. I know everybody hates doing that, or if you're new, you hate being welcomed, but we love it. So say hi to somebody.
Great job, dudes. Your voice is getting so good, Tim. It's really, really good, man. Thanks for your muscles, sir. Right there. A little bit up forward, if you could. Uh-oh. Watch that. That's right.
All right, well, see if I'm strong enough to move this thing. I'm standing in water with all of these electronics, so if I get shocked tonight and electrocuted, it's my second time that's happened. And I love my wife. Just kidding. So, okay, there we are. Hey, can I get a couple paper towels, though, for real? Could somebody get it, just so I really don't shock myself? If you are new tonight, my name is Steele Crosswhite. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rock. We're excited that you are here. Last week, we started a five-week series. It's a new series entitled Win, Build, Send, where as pastors, we wanted to give you guys an idea of where we have been as a church, where we are right now as a church, where we are going as a church, thanks, Mark, and why that matters to you and how you as a church can be involved. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about Jesus, how he's using this church, how we sense as pastors and leaders that he wants to use this church in the future in terms of vision, finances, people, and purpose. And so tonight, I'm going to be talking largely a lot about what God did in 2014. So you guys know where we've been and you guys get a glimpse of where we're going. I've entitled this talk this evening, State of the Church. And so I want to educate you guys as one of your pastors about what we were involved with in 2014 and give you guys some brief ideas of where we're going in the future. I love this proverb in Proverbs 29 verse 18. It says this, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Other translations say people are cast off unrestrained. And so the big idea is that as a church, we need to have vision moving forward. If we don't have vision, we don't have an idea where we're going, and we're cast off unrestrained. There's this quote from this dude. His name's Andy Stanley. He says, vision is a painting a picture of a preferred future. Here's another great quote from this dude. Also, awesome hair. Imagine this. Do you think this guy was bald, like straight in the center, or is that just... I want to be that guy. I'd be like, what's up? This is my hair. But here's what he said. What? Anyway, vision is the art of seeing things invisible. Another one here, Willie Stone, great mustache. Also great quote, vision without a task is only a dream. A task without a vision is but drudgery. But vision with a task is a dream fulfilled. So the big idea here is as a church, we need to have vision. We do have a vision statement, and as the church, you should know this. Here's our vision statement at The Rock. One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. Here's what that means. We want to reach one person at a time with the amazing news of Jesus Christ, and the vision is gigantic. It's God-sized. We want to reach the whole world with that message in our lifetime. That's our vision. That's what we exist for. We want to reach one person at a time with the message of Jesus. We won't stop until the world is taken over with the good grace of Christ. That's our heart. Here's our mission statement. Again, so that we have an idea of where we're going. We want to win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. Here's what that means. We want to win people who don't know Jesus to Jesus. We want to build you guys as Christians up, build the believer, and then send the sanctified. That means we want to be a church that's on mission. Last week, Austin kicked the series off by reminding us as a church where our focus should be. He went through Hebrews chapter 12. It was amazing. He talked about how we as Christians, we must start strong, but not just start strong, finish strong in the faith. Austin passionately reminded us and encouraged us to be like Jesus and to be encouraged by our great cloud of witnesses and like Jesus, endure the race for the joy set before us, that we should keep our eyes on the coach in Jesus. And he kicked off the series by reminding us before we can do anything as a church, we have to have our eyes on Christ. And for those of you that call the Rock Church your church home, you know that that's why we exist. We love Jesus. We want people to know about Jesus, but we always must keep our eyes on him. And so tonight, what I wanted to do, like I said, is give you guys, as a church, a 30,000-foot view of what The Rock has been a part of in 2014. And more importantly, I wanted to give you guys a clear, real-life glimpse of how God has used you in this local body to engage the culture and change the lives of real people who go to this church. Now, for those of you that are wondering, starting in February, we're going to go back to our Knowing Jesus series, which is a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John. But for the next couple of weeks, this is what we're going to be talking about. So with all that said, let me pray real quick, and we'll get into a quick talk. Lord, thank you that we can sing to you. Thank you, Jesus, for your heart, for your people. I pray, Jesus, that tonight that we would be encouraged that you have a heart for the whole world. But not just that, Jesus, you want to involve just this body in a unique way, this local church, in a unique way to impact our culture with the good news and grace of you. I pray, Lord, tonight for your kids in this room, I pray, Jesus, that they would be encouraged, that they would walk away and say, man, God is up to amazing things through the Rock Church. I pray, Lord, that they would have a better idea of where we're going and a greater understanding of how they can be involved. Lord, I pray all of this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so Three keys to setting a course for success in 2015. I'm going to talk about three major things. Here's the first thing, and it's going to be the bulk of my talk. As a church, we need to be encouraged by the past. If we're going to talk about where we're going in 2015, the first thing we need to do is look at where we've been and what we've been involved with. Psalm 107, I love this psalm. It's one of my favorite psalms. I speak it to myself all the time. I think about it in terms of this church, in terms of music, in terms of my life. It says this, those who are wise, we all want to be wise. Those who are wise will take all this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. And so it's a charge to us as a church that we need to look at our history. We need to see God working in our church. And really, we don't have to go very far. Like I said, tonight, I just want to talk a lot about what God has been involved with in our church. Well, let me skip these two slides. Here we go. What God has done, amazing things in the Rock Church in 2014. I want to give you a lot of highlights from what our church was involved with last year and give you guys some ideas of what we're going to be involved with this year. Before I do that, let me just share this. I'm going to hit you with a lot of information, and some of you guys may not like that. I personally love lots of information and statistics, but I want you to keep this in mind. All of what I'm going to share with you, all of these numbers, all of this data translates to change lives for the kingdom of God. It's not to talk about how great The Rock is. It's not. It's to talk about how much God has done through you as a local church. And so I'm going to be hitting you guys with tons of numbers, lots of figures, lots of statistics, but I want you to keep in mind, why does this matter? Because we want to engage the culture with Jesus. We want to reach one life at a time. We want to reach one world in our lifetime. We want to win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. And we want to obey that psalm. We want to look in our history so that we can be encouraged and see the faithful love of the Lord. So with that set up, let me just share lots of numbers with you. Keep this in mind. In 2014, we had 255 worship services that were teaching and proclaiming the name of Jesus. As a church in 2014, we sang 1,530 songs that were praising the name of Jesus. In 2014, we had 1,443 small group meetings where you guys came together with the intention of growing in Jesus. 2014, we had 72 leader meetings where we were training our leaders for the glory of Jesus. This one's a big one to me because I'm a dad. For those of you who have kids in this room, this is cool to think about. In 2014, we had 716 Sunday school lessons teaching your kids about Jesus. And at our Salt Lake City location, we have amazing curriculum. It's called Disciple Land. It's very involved. It's very cool. It's teaching your kids and my kids about the truth of Christ at a young age, all the way up as they grow. We had 716 specific lessons for your kids. This one's amazing. In 2014, we had 7,000 communion participants. In other words, we remembered the sacrifice of Jesus 7,000 times as a collective body in 2014. 7,000 times we came together in our church service and said, God, it's about you. about what you did, about how you saved me. This one is amazing to me. Again, these are numbers. It translates to changed lives. In 2014, think about this small local church that we're a part of. In 2014, we had 96,883 messages downloaded from our website. Almost 100,000 people listened to our messages in just 2014. That's amazing, guys. That's incredible. We had 52 separate E-Rock Church newsletters that were sent out to your emails. What does that mean? It means that people read a combined over 20,000 times small gospel presentations in 2014. 20,000 times. Almost 400 separate servants served in the Rock Church in 2014. That's you guys. You're incredibly gracious with your time and your sacrifice to make church happen. From the coffee, to the PowerPoint, to the sound, to the band, to the kids, to the cleanup, to all of it. To guys cleaning up this mess in front of me so I don't die tonight. Almost 400 people served in 2014. We had 7 separate series teaching through the Bible in 2014, including what I mentioned already, our Knowing Jesus series, where we go verse by verse through the Gospel of John. We had people inside of this church sponsor over 100 Compassion International kids. Think about that. Over 100 kids, children were given the gospel, shelter, food, and education because of this local church. That's encouraging. We should be encouraged by our past, by our history in 2014. I don't know what you were doing in high school. I know what I was doing in high school. 70 kids in high school this year participated in the Rocks High School Leadership Training Conference. They learned how to live, defend their faith, share their faith. That's amazing. 70 high school kids. In this location alone in 2014, we had 2 what we call Change the World evenings. That means 2 times we as pastors asked to take your local change or your pocket change out of your pockets and donate it just to give it away. We did that 2 times at this location, and we gave away over $1,500 at our Christmas party to the Smokeabilly Barbecue guys. That's incredible. $1,500 worth of pocket change. By the way, if you were there that night at the Christmas party, Jason from Smokeabilly, he's the owner. He's a really big guy. He broke down into tears. He was crying. He couldn't believe about your generosity, that you would give him money because of his sick wife. That's why we took up that offering, just to give it away, because she has double kidney failure. She's on dialysis. She's at home all the time. He picked up the phone. He called his wife that night. She talked to me on the phone. She was crying. He was crying. 5 different times he sent me text messages saying he considers the Rock Church his church family. That's amazing, guys. You should be encouraged by that. Yeah. We memorized over 600 Bible verses in 2014 through our Memory Madness program. Again, little kids memorizing Bible verses, pretty cool for the next generation. This next one's amazing to me. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around, but think about this. Again, in terms of changed lives and this small local church, what you're a part of, what God is doing through you. Do you guys know that in the last 10 years, we have seen almost 750 people come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? 599 baptisms in just the last 10 years. That is amazing. Last year alone, we had 58 people come to know Jesus. 44 baptisms just last year. By the way, those are just the ones that we know of. Those are just the ones that told us, hey, by the way, I came to your service. I got saved. Somebody shared the gospel with me. Those are the people that came and spoke to us in 2014. That doesn't count the people you're sharing your faith with at your homes or in your work environments or at your school. We don't know about those ones. These are just the ones that have spoken to us and confirmed with us, yes, I am now in a saving relationship with Jesus because of what God did through the Rock Church. That is incredibly encouraging. Incredibly encouraging. Another one, 2014. We should look at our history and be encouraged. State of the Church, 2014. In 2014, we now have 4 churches, 5 services, and an average of 900 people who come on a weekend. That's amazing. That should encourage you. This one's really awesome. Outside of our local church walls, again, these are lots of numbers. I know that. It should translate to change lives. Outside of our local church walls, the Rock Church gave away, listen to this, $98,282 outside of our church to other regional mission groups, to start other local churches, to support other missionaries, to support other pastors, to support other new mission initiatives, and to raise up other churches in the states of the United States as well as abroad worldwide. We gave away over $98,000 in 2014. TRC in 2014, the Rock Church gave away over $16,000 outside to outside mission efforts to other local Christian ministries. $16,000 in 2014 we gave away to just other local Christian ministries in town. We gave away over $9,000 to our own benevolence account. What does that mean? Our benevolence account means that people who come in and they say, I need help, I need rent, I need food, we help them. We give church members or other people who walk in or homeless people in the community food, shelter, rent, mortgage, medical bills, other areas of need. We gave over $9,000 just for this service in 2014. Here's what this means. In 2014, you as a church were incredibly generous. We gave away over $124,000 to other churches, other missionaries, other things to benefit the kingdom of God in just 2014. That's an incredible number for this small, tiny church. Over $250,000 have been given away to other Christian ministries in the last 2 years. That should encourage you. That means that we partnered physically and financially and spiritually with the Rescue Mission, the Rescue Haven, the Road Home, Teen Challenge to support and help the homeless, the abused, the neglected, the addicted, the forsaken. We partnered with the Pregnancy Resource Center where the Rock Church helped to raise money for new moms. We also provided volunteers who worked as trained counselors to help soon-to-be moms or to help some of those women that lost their babies and help them grieve. We partnered with Come and Live. What does that mean? Well, we freely gave away all of our music wherever the gospel is preached in hopes to influence the next generation with the good news of Jesus. We partnered with a Center of Christian Therapy. Maybe you've heard of that before. It's where the Rock Church, we help pay for professional, ongoing, biblical counseling for those of you who have specific needs. So if you come into this church and you say, I really need help, and there are these things that are going on in your life, we recognize that Jesus may want to get deeper with you, and so we help pay for your therapy. We do that every year. We partnered with Standing Together, which helps bring about biblical unity in Utah. It also brings about fruitful relationships between biblical evangelicals and the LDS apostleship so we can have dialogue about how we are different in our faith. We also brought in the known apologist Ravi Zacharias. That guy's a diehard. The Rock Church, you guys helped bring him in 2014. You may not know this. This is pretty cool. In 2014, we supported and will continue to support a ministry called the Jewels Ministry. Maybe you don't know what that is. We are helping people in the adult industry find Jesus, and we offer this church as a local church to help them recover and heal. We're reaching out to people. We are on mission. We should be encouraged with what we've been involved in 2014. We should look at our history and go, God, you are on the move. What else did we do? Well, this is cool. We had three different mission trips. We had a Honduras mission trip. A team of you guys were used to partner with our sister churches to reach a poverty-stricken culture with gifts of service and presentations of the gospel. We went to Romania. We sent a team of you guys, men and women, on that trip to evangelize to a widely disregarded European culture. By the way, most of them are kids, gypsy kids that are hated by their culture. Some of you guys from this church went to Romania to reach kids with the gospel. We went to Europe. We went to, for 19 days, Poland, Germany, and Italy. A lot of you guys went. There we played intentional outreach concerts. You evangelized about Jesus. You engaged the culture there, and you supported our sister churches. Amazing. In 2014 alone. This is just last year. This is cool. We opened our very own grand opening November 2014, our own building in Draper. That just happened a couple of months ago. We have our own land. We own our own building. That's a big deal. Look at these scissors. That's pretty cool. I like this guy with his thumbs up. I don't know. He's never gone to our church. He's just one of the guys that's part of the community like, what's up? But it's a big deal that we have our own location now in Draper, okay, that we own that building. That's a big deal. Here's the other thing that happened last month. 90 people left this location in December and went west to plant a church in West Valley. They've been meeting now since December. They have over 100 people going. That's amazing. You were a part of that. That's incredible. This is cool. In November, we did this. We hosted our Knowing Jesus CD release party. We released volume one of a two-volume series all about the Gospel of John. At this party, we displayed unique art. We had six bands, two multimedia videos. We had two local food trucks come in. Over 600 people came to this location to buy music about Jesus, to support what the local church is doing, to eat food, to have a party together. That was amazing. We sold over 500 rock music albums just at our storefront. Hundreds more were sold on iTunes. We had 777 songs downloaded just from our website. We recorded last year, your musicians, worship leaders, recorded over 20 original rock music songs all about Jesus last year alone. That's very encouraging. That should encourage you. This is really cool. We recognized five new pastors at our church, servant leaders. We PowerPointed, or somebody did this to Scrib. I don't know if you can see him in the middle. He wasn't at the party, but he was there in spirit, right next to Austin and Kelsey. You're welcome, Scrib. But that's pretty encouraging, guys, that we recognize five new pastors, shepherds for the rock churches in 2014. That's pretty amazing when you think about the Bible. It says that a faithful man is hard to find. We found five that we recognized in 2014, three brand new deacons tonight. You should be encouraged by that as a church. Here's some web stats for you. Again, this is really encouraging to me. The rock church and the rock music combined, okay, those the ministry of the church and the ministry of the music, had a combined 60,443 first-time visitors. First-time visitors. Over 60,000 people came in just 2014. To visit our website. We had over 165,000 page views on our websites. For some of you nerds, you know that's a big deal. That's incredible in just 2014. On our Vimeo account, we had over 13,000 plays of our videos. That's incredible in just 2014. Again, all that translates to changed lives, to reaching the community with the gospel, with Jesus in the world. We also did a lot of amazing things. We celebrated Jesus with the rock music art shows. We encouraged the community to come in to look at local art. We brought in three national worship bands. One of our own bands sang about Jesus. We engaged folks with conversation, visitors all revolving around the gospel, loving them, talking to them about Jesus. At our last rock music art show, we had over 250 people attend. That was pretty cool. We had our church-wide Christmas program. It reached over 1,000 people at all four locations. We had 360 people at our Christmas party on December 20th. That was pretty fun. We sang songs. We took pictures at our photo booth. We ate food and treats from two different food vendors, local food vendors. That was great. For those of you that are in part of small groups in the Salt Lake City location, you know that we came together for our Homeless Compassion Project, where we made over 500 homeless care kits to be given away to those homeless folks on the streets or for those that come into our church that we can help them with food. We can point them to the rescue mission. We can give them a number of different supplies during the winter that we can just give away. You keep them in your cars. You hand them out to people when they're asking for money. We give them the gospel. We give them food. We give them places to go and recover and get shelter. Over 500 of those kits were made. We donated to the Rescue Mission and the Rescue Mission's Women's Center. That's amazing. In 2014, we did Operation Christmas Child, where this year we gave over 316 boxes of toys away, along with the gospel, to the world's neediest kids. We had 11 people from this location take our Aspire course. What that is that's preparing the next generation of pastors, men that want to lead the church and serve this church. We had 11 people take that class. We study, we read, we pray, we discuss what that means. We had our Easter outreach service. Well over 1,200 people attended. We had the National Day of Prayer event, a clothing drive, family outreach teaching series, rock solid marriage classes. We sponsored food drives, clothing drives, shoe drives. Unofficially, every week there were things like football games, basketball games, game nights, coffee meetings, breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, ultimate frisbee games, outreach nights, studies on the Bible, prayer, marriage, parenting. In our church-wide, we had Boy Scout meetings, youth group nights. We encouraged a lot of you guys to walk the streets and pass out flyers to our community, inviting them to the church, asking if they needed prayer. Two times a week in 2014, we sent trained men and women down to the temple and down to Gateway Mall to just engage people with a conversation, to just be friendly with them, to be an evangelical Christian in that place and say, hey, do you have any questions about Jesus? Can I talk to you about Jesus? Two times a week. All throughout 2014, we sent people down there. This location specifically, We felt like God was talking to us as leaders that we needed to engage the culture in conversation even more. And so what we did is we participated as this location in cultural events. Like, we were part of the art show, the art festival, Craft Lake City, the farmers market. We had people at the Twilight concert series. We supported Local First. We did lots of things like that because we knew that as the church, we were to be in the community, as active Christians, engaging the community around us. And our prayers were heard because lots of you who are coming to this church now heard about Jesus, came into this building, they saw the church, you saw Jesus, you got saved in such a way where your life was transformed with the news of the gospel. At our Salt Lake City location, we partnered with local coffee roasters, local bakeries, local donut shops, local artists, food trucks, and vendors, all in hopes to bring the community one step closer to Jesus. That's one of the big reasons we do hangout nights, by the way. It's not just so that we can get to know each other better, but so we can bring the community to us, because we're a hospital, and we have an answer in Jesus. Because everybody around us is just walking like dead people, and they're all standing in line for some crepes and some burgers. We'll bring it here so we can share Jesus with them. We're doing it. Jeez, that wasn't on the notes. Hundreds of dinners for new moms, for sick people, people that were enduring trials and grief, dozens and dozens of moving days, hundreds of home repair projects, countless visits to the hospital in 2014. There were times when you guys were involved with the entire remodel of this building. So many nights spent so late sweeping and painting and pulling up carpet and breaking down tile and putting that stupid wood wall together. I mean, my goodness, so many of you guys were involved in that, all in hopes to reach the community with Jesus. We visited elderly people in nursing homes. We raked leaves for people who could not rake their own yards. We visited people in hospitals who had no families. We gave financial aid and food supplies to people who needed it. Dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of what you guys did as a church in just 2014. Some of you guys gave money away secretly to pay for medical bills. I heard people give thousands and thousands of dollars away to help people adopt kids. Some of you guys gave of your own money so we could purchase technology gear. Some of you guys gave to each other mission trips. Some of you guys gave money so your friend and brother can go on a vacation. Some of you guys paid each other's mortgages and bills and rent. You guys are incredibly generous. Amazing. I could go on and on and on and on. In just 52 weeks, God has radically used you guys as a church. We must look into our history and be encouraged by the faithful love of the Lord. We must be encouraged with our past. It should give us a lot of hope for this next point. We need to be engaged in the present. That means right now. Jesus gave us a job to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You, Christian, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses," said Jesus, "in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth, to Salt Lake City." We must be engaged with the present. Here's what this means. Here's real life statistics for you. Do you know that 97% of your state does not know Jesus? I don't mean to be a downer. God knows the heart. But for those that are professing evangelical Christians, 3%. That means 97% of this state is going to hell. That should bother you. We should be engaged with the present. You could literally bounce into people. You could just walk the opposite direction in a mall, and most of those people that you bump into are going to hell. We need to be engaged with the present. That means, maybe that means for you that you need to take an outreach course, or you need to actually read your Bible so you know what it is that Jesus has done in your life. Maybe it means that you need to get involved in a class or join a small group so you can find Jesus and so that you can be more contagious to these people that are going to go to hell. Maybe it means that you just open up your mouth and you invite your friend over to dinner, or your boss, or your coworker, or your neighbor, or you knock on some doors and you say, "Hey, I'm in this neighborhood, can I pray for you?" You bring in the bins of garbage for your neighbor's house and you leave a little track on it and you say, "Hey, I'm part of the Rock Church, we love Jesus." 97% of your state is going to hell. That should bug us in a good way, in the way that goes, "Man, I wish I had a million food trucks and everybody was hungry, so I could bring you all here and just tell you about Jesus, tell you about Jesus, tell you about Jesus, tell you about Jesus." And we can look at our past and go, God, you are on the move. You've done amazing things. But we have barely, barely touched the surface of what I think God wants to do in this state. Barely. And you're a part of that. You are a huge part of that. This 3%, that's you. You can reach your state. God can use you. And that should make you excited for the future. Jesus gave us that command. We should reach the world. Matthew 28. Again, Jesus, go, Christian, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. That should make us excited about the future, that we have a vision for our life. God is so kind to us that he saved us and he said, listen, I'm involving you in great things. The work isn't done yet. We got a long way to go. What do you want me to do, God? I want you to go make disciples. We should be excited about that. God will do amazing things in 2015. He will do incredible things. And I was thinking about this, and these are just the things that came to my mind that should excite you guys as a church for 2015. These are just the things that came to my mind at first. A couple things here. In 2015, our spring semester for small groups starts this coming Wednesday. And we're changing the way that we've been doing things. We're doing a new meeting called The Core. It's going to be the first Wednesday of the month, and then three consecutive small group meetings thereafter. At that core meeting, that monthly meeting on a Wednesday, it's going to be down here at this church. All those that are involved in small groups come here, and we'll teach you. That starts January 14th. It's going to be super cool. I'm very excited about that. If you are not involved in a small group yet, go to the Connections booth. Sign up. We'll get you plugged in before Wednesday. Baby dedications, February 7th. Maybe you don't have babies. You don't care about that. I got a baby. He's fat and cute. I want to give him to Jesus. That should be exciting. It's exciting to me. Same night, next all-church hangout, February 7th. You guys should be stoked about that. We want to bring in some local community food vendors. We want to play some games. We want to hang out. What an easy night to invite your friends to. February 7th. We will keep telling you about that. That's the next all-church hangout night. The Rock Music CD Release Art Festival. We're going to do another whole art festival March 28th. We have a whole nother band that's releasing an EP. They're called Black Wave. They're incredible. They're from this local church. We're also going to invite an unsaved local band to come and play for us too in this church building on a Saturday night. Why? So that we can engage the community. Let's bring some rock and roll in here, and let's bring some Christian rock, and let's just love on people. March 28th. That's going to be exciting. Easter Outreach, April 4th. That's the following weekend. That's going to be a big night. We're going to finish the John series in May. That's encouraging. This is something new that we're doing this year. We're going to do a Salt Lake City retreat just for this location. June 5th through the 7th, we want to talk to you guys as a church. We might go up to Big Ranch Canyon. We might go up to one of the ski lodges and just spend a couple of days talking about the things that are facing the Christian culture today. That should be super encouraging over that weekend. We're going to have strategic summer outreaches available for you guys. We want to have a promotions team. We also want to have an evangelism team. You guys will have opportunities to express your faith, to impact that 97% of people that don't know Jesus. Those are just a couple of things that came to my mind. Another thing that we're doing that's not finished yet, but we want to start a class called Base Camp. For those people that are new to Jesus or new to this church, we want to give you basic doctrines of the faith. It's a class that we want to take you guys through. That's going to start in 2015. It's going to be amazing. I think about this quote. You've heard it dozens of times if you come to this church. This is my life. This guy really is a stud. He says this: some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. This is what we should be doing. This is what you are doing. Just ringing a bell. 97% of the people in this state, they don't know Jesus. Listen, we need to run a rescue shop. This is a hospital. This is what I want to do. This is what we want to do. And I'm going to give you more steps in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about how you can be involved, what God's plan is as we move forward as a church in 2015. But it is all about this, reaching this culture for Jesus. Here's your question, your only question. Are you going to join us? Maybe it's your first time here tonight, and this is all really weird to you. I'm so glad you came. God wants to use you. If you're not saved, he wants to save you. If you are saved, he wants to use you. Either way, we're glad you're here. For the rest of you that call this church your church home, join us. God's got good plans for us to give us a hope and a future. Here's the deal. I know I just kind of bombarded you with stats and lots of information, and I know that that can seem kind of mind-numbing to you, and so I wanted to do something a little special. I wanted to share with you guys real testimonies, four real testimonies of people that have been changed by God through this local church, so that you know it's not about numbers, it's not about the messages, it's not about the food trucks, it's not about the music, it's not about the lights, it's about Jesus working through you. And so what we're going to do is we're going to play four videos. It's going to take about 20 minutes. Watch these. These are your brothers and sisters here in this church that have been changed by God through you. And then I'll come up here and I'll pray and then we can hang out. So if you can roll tape.
Hi guys, my name is Adam Tolman, and I get to share with you my story about how Jesus Christ changed my life and brought me into a saving relationship with Him. I was born and raised in Utah, raised in a Mormon home with two awesome parents and three beautiful sisters. I lived a pretty typical Mormon childhood, had a lot of built-in community and friends from church, and really just had a good time growing up and enjoyed it very much. As a kid, I didn't really have a relationship with God. I knew of Him and heard these stories from the Bible and things, but I didn't really know who He was. And in the Mormon church, as a young man, your kind of life is set out before you, and there's kind of a checklist of things that you need to do to kind of be good and do it the right way. You need to get baptized at 8, get the priesthood at 12, go on your mission at 19, come back, marry a girl in the temple, and have lots of babies and endure to the end. And that was kind of the path that was set before me as a kid. And at the age of 19, I had decided to go on a mission. I submitted my papers and was called to the training center and was supposed to be there for 2 months to learn a new language. And I was only there for 3 short weeks. I decided to leave early and return home because of I was not totally worthy to be a missionary. I had had premarital sex with my girlfriend at the time, and I felt compelled to leave and try and make that right. And I wanted to go back out in my mission and do it, you know, the right way. It was a really difficult decision for me to make at the time, but I felt it was right. I told my leader at the MTC, and I had to confess my sins and tell him why. I had to call my parents up and tell them I was coming home. I had to confess of my sins to the bishop and stake president, and this whole crazy experience of kind of guilt and shame. And I had to come home and see a lot of faces who had just sent me off in a farewell, and I was just really, the whole experience was really difficult and hard, and I became depressed and unhappy, and I was told that in order to go back out on my mission, I had to wait about a year and do a handful of things. One of those things included to stop seeing my girlfriend at the time as well, and through all of this, I just became angry and just upset, and it was honestly at the lowest point in my life, and I made the decision that if this is what God wants for me in my life, then I would rather be in hell. And that's truly how I felt, and I made the decision to leave the Mormon church. And from that time forward, I kind of lived my life how I wanted to live it. I moved out of my parents' house, moved in with some non-LDS friends, and did everything I was raised not to do. I started drinking and smoking and doing drugs and sleeping with women and partying and just finding a way, any way I could, to have a good time. And during that time as well, I also learned a lot about science and philosophy and religion and, you know, Eastern philosophy and certain things that I needed to find ways of further disproving God in my mind to intellectually match how I feel emotionally in a way. And this was about the next 8-10 years of my life. During that time, I was responsible, you know, I was successful in my career and went to school and traveled and made a lot of friends. but I was still kind of empty and not happy and just stuck in a routine. During that time as well, I had met some friends through the music scene, particularly Tony and Shannon D'Amico. I had known them for several years before they started going to the Rock Church in Salt Lake City. And once they started going there, they invited me out to see his band play worship. I went that night and enjoyed the experience, honestly, and made a lot of friends that night. And over the next 4 or 5 years, I had become really close to the people at the church. I kind of became the token non-Christian friend hanging out with these Christians. And but I loved spending time with them. They were authentic. They were truly kind and loving, and I felt that they cared about me. I wasn't Christian, they still cared about me, and that was very compelling, and I wanted to spend more time with these people, and I did. I was kind of living two lifestyles. I had all my Christian friends and all my non-believing friends, and but over the course of those years, I learned a lot more about God and Jesus Christ specifically, and about grace and about sin and where I fit into all that. And really, I got a better picture about the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christianity that I don't really think I had before. And, through the ongoing example of my friends and their persistence despite my stubbornness, I became Christian in March of 2009. There was a lot of little miracles and things that I learned that got me to that point. But ultimately, I learned that God does not exist at the top of this mountain that you must climb. He doesn't require you to complete this checklist of things to be worthy. He doesn't make you feel guilty and shameful for all the things that I've done and all the ways that I am not perfect. The reason why is because Jesus Christ is perfect, and he did all of those things. It's not about me doing everything I need to do to be worthy, to go to heaven, and to be with God. It was about Jesus Christ loving me, coming down, and dying on a cross for my sins. And through that act, I'm set free through grace. And it's a radical, revolutionary idea, and that truly changed my life, and it made me realize who I was, and that how it was different than what I was raised to believe. And since that time, I've been very blessed. I've been married to a beautiful wife, Sierra, who's blessed me a great deal. I've been able to serve my local church in various means, through leading a small group, to playing worship music, to doing media, creating websites, and now recently just being asked to be a deacon in the church and serving it in a new role. And I am very blessed and excited and so happy for what God has done in my life, taking a proud, stubborn kid and radically changing him for the better. And I now don't care just about myself, I care about God and other people. And it's just been an amazing journey, and it's been something I'm just very happy and excited about. Thank you for listening. I hope it blesses you.
My name is Sherry Topper. I grew up in a pretty religious home. My entire family is LDS. I grew up going to church with my family pretty much every Sunday. I grew up really not knowing a lot about the church that I believed in. I always struggled with it a little bit, especially when I got older. A lot of it was not really understanding what I believed in or why I had to do the things that I did. When I graduated high school, I left home, and over the next 5 or 6 years, I spent a lot of time going in and out of the Mormon church. It was a pretty vicious cycle of trying to be good and trying to do all the right things and messing up and feeling guilty, and which would lead to a spiral of just self-pity and guilt and just destructive behavior. I spent a lot of time in my early 20s looking for something to fill that hole in, you know, in my heart that I was looking for. I always believed in God and knew that he was there, but I never knew that he cared about me. I didn't think that he would love me ever. I never thought that I was good enough to even, you know, pray or just be inside of a church at that point. So after a lot of years of that kind of vicious cycle of going back to church and not, I just ended up just at a low point in my life, and ended a really broken relationship. I didn't feel like I had anyone to turn to. I felt a lot of guilt. I was really, really empty. Felt really, really lonely, and just struggled a lot with fear and anxiety. And I just remember thinking in those moments that there was more, there had to be more to my life than always failing, because that's how I felt. Shortly after I ended that relationship, I just had a random mutual friend that invited me to hang out, and she invited me to go bowling with her new friends that she had made, and was lonely, so I was like, sure, I'm gonna go hang out with some new friends. And they were all Christians, and I've never felt this with any kind of friends ever before, but we were instantly family. They were caring. They were interested in my life. They just loved me for who I was. I mean, and it was in a very, very few weeks that I had some of the best friends that I've ever known in my life. And I feel like God really knew that's what I needed. And he gave it to me before I was even saved. So that group of Christians, I just kept hanging out with them and eventually started going to the next level, which is something we used to have a really long time ago before there were small groups. Just a bunch of people would come to the church on Wednesday nights and there'd be a teaching and we'd just hang out. And I remember, I think it was the first time that I went, Steele was preaching really just passionately from the stage. I remember vividly thinking that he was talking to me specifically. He was just teaching about, you know, things that you've always heard of, about God's grace and how he loves you and wants a relationship with you and all that kind of stuff. But I had never heard that before. And to think that that God knew me and cared about me and loved me was really a turning point in my life. Shortly after that, Sierra Tolman shared the diagram with me. We were hanging out, and she had bought me, I believe she had bought me my first Bible, and this was kind of sharing the gospel with me, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior on St. Patrick's Day in 2008, and I think it's pretty cool that I have that day to remind me of it each year. And you know, it was a day that I never looked back. I kind of just put both feet in and never looked back to my old life. And I feel like God really, he's changed my heart so much that it's really hard for me to even to put into words, because he just took everything that was bad and replaced it with good that I didn't even know that I wanted. I had friendships. I felt like I had a home, and he really took away just all of my fears and my anxieties that I had, knowing that I can trust in him for anything that comes my way in this life, and that when I died, I knew that I was going to heaven, and that was something that I struggled with my entire life, not knowing that. He's just, God also just really changed desires of my heart, just to serve his church, to serve his people, to just be in community, you know, every week with people that love him and are doing the same thing. I never wanted to or thought that I would get married, and God really changed my heart in a big way with that. I met my husband at the Rock Church. We met at a Bible study, and I feel like that's one of the biggest ways God has changed my life is through meeting Randall and just the way God has refined me through marriage is really a big testimony of what he's done in my life. Thanks for listening to my story.
Hi, my name is Ross Ellender. I've been coming to the Downtown Rock for just about a year now. I was raised in a Christian home. I'm going to Southern Baptist Church, so it was rather strict. And growing up, I always, you know, believed and trusted in God, and I feel that I was saved at the age of 8. I was baptized around that same age, but it was more due to pressure from my family, so I feel like it was honestly, you know, done in vain because I didn't make the choice to do it. I just thought I needed to. And after that, I never really went to church unless I absolutely had to. And I always, you know, God was always there and I prayed and things like that, but it never really meant as much to me, I guess, because I didn't actively pursue him. And you know, as I got older, I got really caught up into drinking and other, you know, worldly lifestyle choices that really led me down a pretty rocky road up until about a year ago when things got to a point where they were so bad that I really recognized the need for a change. So I started coming to the Rock because I had heard of it through my dad's pastor who lives in Vernal. And I showed up and instantly started meeting people, which was really nice. And it was a good push to help me to be coming back. And God just really spurred a change in my heart through all of that, because I was surrounded by people that I knew cared for me, and they were very encouraging and pointing me in the right direction and just helping me to really get plugged in. And I've been involved in small groups, and I was involved with the downtown remodel, did a lot of work with that, which has just been a very good experience for me because it's just helped me to get plugged in all that much further. And yeah, it's just been a real wonderful experience, and I'm really excited to see the path that the Lord takes me down through this church in the future. Thanks for listening to my story. God bless.
Boom.
You guys better make me look good.
I'm Jake. This is my wife, Jess. We just wanted to share a little bit with you about how God and The Rock has worked in changing our lives.
So I grew up going to church sporadically, kind of that Christmas, Easter situation. And I believed all of the stories, and they were more like stories to me. And really, the gospel just kind of went straight over my head. So I knew God, who he was, through like an intellectual knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. And I got invited to The Rock in 2007 from a coworker, actually, and it was a worship night, and so she took me here I got to hear awesome music, and I immediately fell in love with the rock. I even bought the Revolution 2 album that night, I remember. We never actually came back, though, because we convinced ourselves that a Saturday night service wouldn't work with my husband's retail schedule.
Yeah, I grew up going to church, going to a Christian church with my family almost my entire life, but as an adult, really fell away from it for no real good reason at all. And we ended up meeting some friends that I worked with that came to The Rock, and they invited us, and we ended up coming with them, and just right away we're hooked, loved it. And we started getting really involved, started joining a small, we joined a small group, and really just getting plugged into the church.
After a couple months of going to The Rock, I was actually saved in April of 2011. Believe it or not, I was looking through on the website for a sermon that I'd missed. I didn't know if the church did kind of like an online podcast type of thing. So I was searching through the website, and I found the diagram, and I watched that. I was home alone, watched it, and I just remember bawling my face off as I realized how I had never accepted the love of God in my life, in actually in my heart. I never applied it to myself personally. So I was saved here at The Rock and was baptized a couple months later. And I think for me, 2011 was an awesome year. After being saved, I felt great. Everything was wonderful in our marriage. I felt like it was the high point in our marriage. And everything was really good.
After a few months or a little while of coming to the church, I was still dealing with some personal stuff. I was definitely not living as a Christian outside the church by any means. I started meeting with Steele one-on-one and started talking to him about some of the problems that I had. For a long time, I had struggled with pornography and lust, almost to the point of addiction. And I decided to be honest with Steele and tell him about these problems that I was having.
Yeah.
And, you know, came to a point where God brought me to my knees, and I realized that I had to tell the truth. And I had cheated on my wife a couple times since we had been married, and I told Steele that. And I realized I was at this point of no return, or two different roads, and I was going to have to tell her the truth. And I decided to honor God and honor my wife and share with her that I had cheated on her a couple times. Whether or not it would end in divorce or not, I knew that I had to do that.
In February of 2012, Jake told me that he had cheated on me previously in our marriage. And one of the times was when I thought that our marriage was just at its high point. So I felt devastated. I didn't know what to do. I felt completely out of control. And I basically started to deal with it by not dealing with it. And I completely ignored my feelings and tried to pretend that it never happened. And so after a couple months of that, I felt completely overwhelmed by my feelings and abandoned by God. I wasn't seeking Him. I had completely withdrawn within myself. So I asked Jake to leave and live with a friend of ours for a couple weeks. And at that point, I was pretty much set on being separated and or getting a divorce. And I didn't know what to do at that point. And during that time while we were separated, I started seeing someone else, and I was at the point of just trying to run away from my feelings and I convinced myself that I was trying to move on and that I didn't love Jake anymore. And all the while during that time, Jake was pursuing me, and he was showing me day by day that God was changing his heart, and I could see that. And one morning in August, he sent me a text message from, and it was a verse in Song of Solomon 4:7, and it read, "You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There's no flaw in you." And God really used that verse to show me how my actions were not what He wanted. God showed me that I was being a fool, and I knew that I still loved my husband, and I knew in my heart that I wanted to make things work. So I was at this point of a crossroads. I could either keep going on this road without God and running away
from God and running away from my feelings and running away from my marriage, or I could take the other road, which was difficult, and I had no idea how it would turn out, but I could trust God, and I could actually believe in the promises that he has told me, and that he would comfort me when I mourn, and that he would make, that he had beautiful plans for my future, and that he would make beauty from ashes. And that's what I decided to do, to trust God and believe that his promises were true.
So I remember after all that, Jess texted me one morning, one morning after that, we had gone to a party the night before for a friend. We had gone separately, but we're both there because it was a mutual friend of ours. And I remember her that night, and I just thought she was amazing. And I remember telling her that I thought she was the most beautiful girl at the party. And the next day when she texted me, like she said, man, I climbed out of bed like a kid on Christmas at 4 a.m. running to open presents. I was so excited that she wanted me to come home. So I went home, but she told me first that she wanted to talk to me. And she sat me down and she told me during the past bit of time that she had had, that she had slept with someone a couple times during that time. And I was absolutely devastated. I was floored, and I thought that God had brought me to my knees before, and this, I was absolutely at rock bottom. But I knew in that moment that I wanted to honor God, and I wanted to forgive her, and I wanted the marriage to work. I wanted to be together, but I had no idea what that meant.
So we decided to seek counsel with several people at the Rock, and we were just at this place of brokenness. Neither one of us trusted one another. We had both broken our marriage vows and our trust, and we just needed somewhere to start.
We started calling around to different pastors. I talked with Steele. Ultimately, we sat down with Josh Whitney, and I remember sitting in his house, in his office, in his house. And I don't remember everything that was said, but I remember something to the effect. He sat us down and he looked us both straight in the eye. And I remember saying him saying something to the effect of, well, you've been hanging out with dirtbags and you've been hanging out with floozies. And I totally appreciated the brutal honesty that we got. But it didn't come from a place of judgment or shame. It came from love and just telling us the utter truth.
God placed several people from the Rock Church strategically in our lives to help us get through this. And through much counseling and prayer and really getting our priorities straight, we've been able to rebuild our marriage. Christ saved our marriage, and ultimately he's the only thing that sustains us.
Yeah. Over the past couple years, it's been incredible to see the transformation in both of our lives and how God has worked in our lives. And culminating late last year,
we're amazingly blessed.
We're blessed with this little dude right here.
Yes.
And, you know, it's definitely by the grace of God alone that we're still together, and that we have this dude. And, you know, something that I truly believe is a miracle. Thank you for letting us share our story with all of you, and we love you all.
Amen. Yeah, that'd be good.
It's about people. It's not about statistics. It's not about this church. It's about Jesus changing you guys. And those people that gave your testimonies, there's so many more. We could have spent days and days and days talking to so many of you. We're encouraged by what God has done in 2014. We're encouraged by what he wants to do in 2015. You have no idea how much God loves you and how much he wants to use your life to make a real difference. So, you're going to be hearing about it for the next couple of weeks. We're glad you came. We love you. Let me pray. God, thanks for tonight. Thanks for these lives. Thank you, God, for the people you brought tonight. Thank you for the plans that you have in 2015. Thank you, God, that we have a heart to see this world, this state, changed by you, the good news of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We commit our church, our year to you. We ask God that 2015 would be even more amazing than 2014, if that's even possible. Amaze us, use us, bless us, God, we pray. In your name, Jesus Christ, amen. Hey, for those of you guys that want prayer, you need prayer for anything, I'm going to be right over here. A couple of pastors are going to be over here to pray. Hang out in the lobby, listen to some music. I'm glad you came.